This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
In 5, 4... Hey guys, Nick Campbell here, and with me as always is
David Steele.
And we are
Rhythm and Wit.
Hey, today we have the very funny Larry Tibbs.
Yo.
What's going on?
What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
Yeah. Comedian out of Tulsa. How's it going, man? What's been up, man? You just hot off of a Looney Bin headlining set.
I did. Just been working and grinding. That's the cliche answer. Just working.
Yeah.
Grinding.
Right.
I did my first they gave me a headline night. I didn't do a weekend, but they gave me my first headline night. Big show. A lot of people turned out. Had a lot of people come out to the show, man.
It was fun.
This was actually my second time doing Tibbs Mania.
Okay.
The first one, everybody my first one was supposed to be a special.
Yeah.
But that's another story for another day. But you know, Looney Bin blessed me with the opportunity, man, and then we're gonna do it again next year.
So, nice.
Yeah. So what is the Tibbs Mania? Is it just your kind of your set?
Or is it anything specific? This is how Tibbs Mania was created, man.
Okay.
Everybody know me. I'm a huge wrestling fan.
Yeah.
So for years I've been trying to figure out how to brand myself,
right,
come up with my own thing. So Tibbs Mania and it all came together because I was just watching WrestleMania one day, mm-hmm, and I've always was like, you know what? I want to have like a theme show.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have like a WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 2,
okay,
WrestleMania 3.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, when I was putting together my special, I was just like, well, what am I going to call this special, or mm-hmm, what am I going to call it? How am I going to brand myself? And I was just like, Tibbs Mania.
Yeah,
just like Tibbs Mania, like let everybody into my world,
right,
like how crazy it is, how, mm-hmm, you know, sharing my life experience with people, mm-hmm, and I want to continue that.
Yeah.
Like every show I'm gonna do now is gonna be Tibbs Mania.
So, but is it Tibbs Mania 1, Tibbs Mania 2? Is that where your idea?
Yeah, from now on it's gonna be. So like next year,
you'll have it numbered.
Yeah, like I'm gonna have Tibbs Mania 2 next
nice,
year.
Yeah, yeah, I like that.
And
a lot.
Eventually, when I get a Netflix special or something, it's going to be like a WrestleMania type thing. So
okay,
it's like, I'm
right,
with it. So
you do a show in the ring? Like,
that'd be sick.
So no lie, like, I went to go see Kevin Hart live a few years ago in Tulsa at the BOK. And, you know, they do the stand-up where it's like, instead of having the stage and everybody is front,
mm-hmm,
of you,
mm-hmm,
it's like, they have him
like
the stage is in a circle and
it's
around the stage. So it's kind of like give that ring
right
feel. I like that.
Yeah.
So definitely it's going
to
be.
You could probably do something. I mean, that wouldn't be too hard to put together. I mean, if you had, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
The opportunity.
I love the shows like that with that kind of aspect around, mm-hmm, like instead of just having that flat stage, everybody
right
in front of you, it's just right there in the middle.
Then, yeah. You, as a performer, you can like do a lot more, like turn around and do, you know, have all this room to play.
Yeah.
Do
yeah
like a sprinkler of jokes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you probably forget, oh, I got people behind me.
Yeah,
how
exactly,
y'all
doing? Yeah.
You got to make your ass look good too. You can't just be up, you can't just be up there showing flat butt, dude.
I got to move around.
Yeah.
That's why I'm trying to stay in shape.
Yeah.
So I can do stuff like that. So, that's pretty much it. That's how Tibbs Mania is, man. Like, I want this. It's going to get bigger. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's me. Mm-hmm. It's me. It's like I'm not under anybody. I'm not. Yeah. It's me. It's Larry Tibbs. It's Tibbs Mania. So and let me tell you what's funny about it. Like people think like when I was promoting the show. And they saw my flyer. They be like, "Oh, you're Tibbs Mania." So some people think my name is Tibbs Mania. Yeah, I'm like, "No, it's the name of my show. Yeah. It's Larry Tibbs."
That could be the WWE name, right there.
Listen,
right.
I just let it go. Yeah. She was like, "Oh my God, you're Tibbs Mania." Yeah, I'm Tibbs Mania.
It's like they know if that's all they know, that's still good.
That's it. That's cool. As long as you're coming to the show, it's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. If they know that Tibbs, you know that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, well, if I'd have known, I'd have named your show Tibbs Mania that we're doing November 14th. Don't forget, everybody. He's going to be out at Put a Cork in and Wine in November 14th at 7 p.m. Be
November
sure.
November 14th. I can't wait. I can't
use the promo code Local Laughs.
Yes,
$5
sir.
Off.
Yes.
Anyways, throw that in there.
For sure. So, that's a good one.
You and Cepeda are both WWE fans. Yeah.
That's my dog. Shout out to Cepeda.
Do you guys ever get into it? Like, Who are your guys?
Cepeda, man, that's my little bro, man. Mm-hmm. Like, every time we see each other, all we do is talk about wrestling.
Yeah.
That's all we do.
You got to catch up with the latest.
Yeah. We always talk about wrestling, man. We actually did a show together in Wichita not too long ago. And right after the show, we rarely talk about the show. We just go straight into wrestling. Right. And then there was another comic out there, Eric out there. Shout out to Eric in Wichita. He's a wrestler fan, too. So we just sat there and just talked about wrestling for like 2 hours.
Damn,
So, man, this is awesome. Always good. You asked me who's my favorite, right?
Yeah. Who are your
right
favorites?
Now or all time?
Ooh, that's a good question. Right, let's do all time.
All time.
All time.
All right. You want me? So I always give people my top five.
Okay.
Let's go.
All right, my top. I love The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. That's my all time favorite.
Oh, really?
Yep. So my first time watching wrestling, right? I always tell people this story. I used to have this TV when I was a kid that didn't have the knobs on the TV, right? So the only way you could turn
you
the channel.
Get the little pliers.
Yeah, you got to get the pliers and you got to turn it, right?
Yeah.
At this time, we didn't have cable, so we had the local channel. It was called UPN, and they had Thursday Night SmackDown at the time. So when I was a kid, I was just turning the channels, and some reason it wouldn't turn from UPN, and SmackDown was on. Thursday Night SmackDown was on. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching. I don't have a clue what's going on.
That's the first time you'd ever experienced it.
Yeah. But all I can remember is this dude on a motorcycle in a long trench coat driving down, chasing this dude in a suit named Mr. McMahon.
Right.
Chasing him down. And Mr. McMahon goes in the ring. He got a ring full of security. And this dude on his motorcycle just whooping everybody ass. And I was just like, yo, that dude is tight. Who is that?
Yeah.
Who is that? And I remember going to school the next day. And they were just like, yo, did you see The Undertaker? Yeah. I said, I think I watched that last night. Became an Undertaker fan ever since then.
That's awesome.
And then I love the, I got chills when, like, so I experienced the motorcycle Undertaker first, the American Badass. But then he switched over to, you know, the Phenom, which is this darker character, right? Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was the coolest shit ever when I saw him. Well, I was just like, oh, now he's dark, he's evil, he don't say nothing, he quiet.
Yeah.
He still got on the long black trench coat and the hat now? Oh, yeah.
Well, didn't he die and he was resurrected? That was like...
From my experience, he had a match against Mr. McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very live match, Survivor Series 2003, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Kane helped Mr. McMahon bury him alive. This sounds crazy to people that don't watch wrestling.
I remember hearing about that. I didn't really. I mean, we watched it when we were like in middle school and stuff. Like, I mean, I was kind of. I was more on the WWE side or WCW.
Which is still cool.
Yeah, I liked that. I liked a lot of those guys. Like, Hollywood Hogan and all that era.
Hollywood Hogan was one of my favorite heels.
So like that era, but it was a brief stint. I wasn't into it for very long, I think. I've heard that story about Kane and
Kane buried him alive and then like he was gone. This is crazy. He was gone for like a few months and then He came back as this dark character right. now. All it was, he had a shoulder injury. Like, y'all could have just told us that.
That's a cool thing. That's why I like wrestling, because it's like they take something that happened in real life, but it's like, how do we work this into the story and, like, make it more entertaining
Which is cool, you know? Like, you know, I still got, like, my friends and stuff be like, man, you know this stuff is fake, right? Yeah. Like, I know. But it's the story. Right. It's the character. Like, it's the event. Like, I got one of my boys. He used to be a diehard wrestler fan when he was younger, right? And, you know, we became close here recently, and he knows that I go to all the wrestling events that come through Oklahoma.
Every time
and
then
I go I go to WrestleMania every year for my vacation time.
Oh, nice.
So, so he, you know, he was just like, man, you still go to that stuff, man. I ain't been to that stuff. He was just talking trash. So SmackDown comes, right? And I had, you know, two front row, you know, seats, like right behind the commentary table. And I invited him. I was like, man, you should come. Just check it out, you know? He was like, man, I ain't going to that stuff, man. So I took him. He sat next to me, and he just had a blast. Like, he was just like, this is the greatest stuff. This is better than going to the NBA. I was like, I told you, man. Told you. He became a big fan of Jey Uso, and then Roman Reigns come out. He was just like, oh, yo, this dude's tight. Like, bro, listen, this is, I've been to NBA, NFL, and baseball games. This was the best shit in the world.
So,
damn. Yeah, man.
Made a true believer out of it.
Yeah, man. And I tell people all the time, like, if you're not a wrestling fan, go to the event. Go to the event, and it's the best experience you'll have, man. Like, like, for me, like, I've been going since I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
But now when I go now, I like to watch the other kids.
Yeah.
Because so
you relive that a little bit.
Yeah, like, I see their excitement. I'm like, I remember when I was six
years
old.
It's like when you see a kid at Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I remember feeling that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is this your first time? Yeah, it's my first time. Yeah. That's me. That was me.
Nice.
Like, I remember the first time. Like,
do you do any of the backyard stuff? Do you go to any of the local stuff?
I used to, man. Like, when I have time, I go. Shout out to Brad Ebanks, UWE, and Tim Rockwell, Wrestling for a Cause. Like, you know, when I get a chance, I go out and support, you know. So, I do. It's not that I'm just a WWE fan. I'm a huge pro wrestling fan.
Right.
So, it's just like, and, you know, I see some of the local talents here. They go and make it into the big leagues, too, man. So, it's dope to see. I encourage everybody to go to the local wrestling events, too. Like, it's some of the coolest stuff, too.
Yeah,
would you jump in on it? Would you be like an announcer or something?
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all this right now. Stand-up comedy wasn't my first choice. Stand-up comedy was not my first choice. Pro wrestling, I wanted to be... That's what I wanted to be, you know, first.
What's
your
name? What's your wrestling name?
Black Caesar. Black Caesar
just
was the name.
Just a fig leaf.
Man. Black Caesar, like, so here's the thing. Black Caesar was going to be my character. It was going to be like a mixture of, like, I wanted to be a heel. I wanted to be like Triple H and Brock Lesnar. That's who I wanted to be like in that kind of like round there, like the MMA fighter, but he was brutal at the...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
That's what I kind of wanted to be. I also wanted to be a professional boxer, too. So
You're into boxing, too, right?
Yeah. That's another love that I have. Wrestling and boxing is two loves that I have.
I love being in that ring.
Yeah, bro.
It's something about...
Look how big I am, bro. Pro wrestling was... I mean, stand-up comedy was not my first choice. Right. Stand-up comedy found me, so I always tell people that.
Well, how'd you get started? What was the beginning? What got you on the stage?
So I've always been a fan of stand-up comedy, man. Like, I remember being up late at night watching, like, Comic View, watching the Kings of Comedy. Bernie Mac is my guy.
Yeah.
Cedric Entertainer is my guy. I love those two. Steve Harvey, of course. D.L. Hughley. And, you know, when I was younger, I used to just sit and just look up random stand-up comedy videos. Mm-hmm. Like I used to love watching Comedy Central. You remember when Comedy Central just used to have those, just like those random 30-minute specials just running late at night?
Well, because I remember they had like the, what was it? There was a certain show, but it was only like maybe 10-minute sets.
Comic View.
On Comedy Central?
Yeah.
It was Comedy Central Presents.
Okay, that's what it was. Yeah, but it was wasn't like the full, because they also had the full 30-minute specials.
Yeah, they had the full 30 minutes, and then they had those little.
I liked the shorter ones, because you get to see like four or five comics.
Yeah. Comic View was one, though. Yeah, Comic View, it was on BET. Right. So
was it Premium Blend?
That's one that definitely, because that's how we got into comedy. I mean, as you know, teenagers, I guess, and like middle school was watching Comedy Central Presents and watching all those.
Dave Cook, love Robert Kelly,
Dave Chappelle, when they used to put out Dave Chappelle specials, and Dave Chappelle show was on
the actual show.
It was just like, I've always been a fan of comedy, right? I got into it. My brother Gerald Harris got me into it. Like he used to fight in the UFC, so he, you know, I was training with him and everything. Nice. He broke his hand and he started doing a comedy show along with one of my other comedy mentors, Veli Vale. So they used to do this comedy show called Chocolate City.
And that was in Tulsa.
Yeah. Started at the Looney Bin.
Okay.
And I would just work the door for him. So I used to just work the door for him, and I'll just sit back in the back room just watching him do it. And I've always was just like, man, I want to do this one day.
So how old were you then? I was like, you were pretty young.
Man, I was probably like, I started working the door with him when I was like 18.
Yeah.
18, 19 years old. I didn't officially touch the stage until I was 20, 21 or 22.
Okay. Whoa. So how long have you been doing it now? How old are you now, if you don't mind?
I'm 25. I'm 25. I'm 32.
Okay, man, so I've been doing it.
I've been doing it about 10 years, man. I'm 10 years in the game. So,
congrats.
But I'm still young though. Like I heard Jerry Seinfeld say, like he was talking to another comic and they was asking him, "How long you been in the game?" And the dude was like, "Oh, I've been in it 15 years." He said, "Oh, you only 15 years old." like he was still a baby. And he'd been in the game 40. So it's just like, oh, okay.
That's what I was. I mean, that's the thing. Before Nick even started doing it, I remember hearing, because I listened to a lot of podcasts. I remember listening to a podcast with some comedians on it years ago. And they were talking about how, like, you know, it takes so long to get, like, a 5-year comedian is still nothing.
It's still nothing. It's still nothing. So it's
like it takes so long to actually really get good at this craft.
You know what's crazy? Somebody told me, they was like, you don't actually find yourself in stand up until you're 10 years in.
Yeah.
I'm 10 years in and I'm just like, I know my voice.
Yeah.
You know, I know how I carry myself. You know, I know who I am on stage now. I don't try everybody, I don't care what anybody say. When you first start doing stand up, You're picking from the people that you watch, and you're trying to be like them,
right?
Like, I try to be like Bernie Mac. I try to be like Cedric Entertainer. I try to sound like Kevin Hart, as big as I am, you know?
He's doing that face?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I try to be loud on stage, energetic. Mm-hmm. I try to dress in suits like Steve Harvey. Like, I
tried everything.
I tried everything, but now it's just like, hey, man, all you need to do is just wear all black Dodgers hats.
Yeah.
You're good.
That's you.
That's me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't try to. I didn't got out of that suit phase. Like, I didn't got out of that. I know who I am. I started. Like, the way I write now is like life experiences, man. Like, I try to write down 5 things every day that was funny to me in that day, in that moment. Like, no matter where you at work or you stopped at a restaurant, I write it down. Write it. I challenge myself to do that. So.
That's great. That's a good habit for sure. I think about that stuff. I'm not a practicing comedian. I've never even tried it, but I've been on stage plenty with music, so I love the kind of that spotlight. But I do think about, you know, if I were to do comedy or whatever, cause it's like you'd be driving around working or whatever, and it's like you have these funny thoughts that come in, you know, or these funny observations about whatever it is.
I'll start a rec about it. I'll write that shit. Hey man, I'm trying to get this $20 later.
No joke.
Yeah.
So do you take pieces of, I mean, you say that you kind of found your voice, but I mean, your love of wrestling. Yeah. You take pieces of wrestling and kind of take it to the stage. Influence. How does that
Oh, yeah, absolutely, bro. Like, I use it like, I say it's like promos.
Right?
Like, I got the mic in my hand and I need to control, I need to command the crowd's attention. You know what I mean? So I definitely do. You're going to call me crazy, but when I walk out, I walk out like I'm, I want that wrestling aura.
Like you
when
got
I walk
the music out. Playing in your head.
Yeah. Like I'm behind the curtain hyping myself up. Yeah. And then when I touch the stage, I'm here. Yeah. You know what I mean? So yes,
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, wrestling, it's so similar in so many ways.
A lot of ways. Sometimes, so there's also with boxing too. Like sometimes I shadow box before I go on stage because it helps me calm my nerves a little bit. So I shadow box a little bit. But yes, So everything, like I've been such a huge wrestling fan since I was a kid. Like my everyday life is based
everything
off of wrestling,
is
so.
Informed by that. That's great.
Well, I was adopted by my grandparents, but my mom and her husband, he was a wrestler. That's why I didn't really get into it because I knew well, first off, he'd try the moves on you. You know what I'm saying?
All my nephews, though.
Let me go, dude.
All my nephews and my cousins, they know.
He'd just be in his house with his shirt off wrestling you, and you'd be like, all right, man, like stepdad. All right, calm down, bro. And then, but no, he would do that, and then you would see him come home, and he busted knees. He'd be beat up, you know, but
he was a wrestler.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He did. He was Cousin Jed out in Lancaster, Kentucky.
He was probably big back in Kentucky, wasn't he?
He was actually. He ended up messing up his knees pretty bad, and then he became an announcer. But then he would still wrestle. So he would like get in fights and stuff.
You asked me that earlier, man. Like I tried to do. I was a backstage interviewer for Wrestle for Cause. I did one thing, and it was cool, but. Now, I always wanted to be in the ring. I'll do some commentary, you know what I mean? But also, man, like, I got so busy with stand-up comedy, it's just like, you have to be dedicated in the pro wrestling room. Like, that's, like, you have
to
be dedicated. And comedy has got me to a point where it's just like, I don't want to start all over. Like, I'm here. You know what I mean? I'm here, but I would love to be like Pat McAfee. I don't know if y'all seen him.
I've heard the name, but
Pat McAfee, like, he does, like, commentary for, like, college football. He do like college football game day, but he goes and do commentary for WWE on the side. So it's like, I would love to do something like that. Like, just let me pop in, do my little commentary, let me do my predictions, and then I'm going back on the road and do my show. So yeah, I would love to do something
that's
like that.
That's cool. I mean, that's the thing. It's like that, the wrestling, it ain't going anywhere. It's just getting bigger. I mean, it's one of the biggest
entertainment. It's a crazy machine, man.
So it's like, you can find a way in, I'm
sure. Absolutely.
One day, you know?
I want to be... Like, they see me, I got a big show, and they just want to bring me in. Right. Like, they just teamed up with Kill Tony, so it's like, it's crazy. So, Kill Tony does a show after WrestleMania weekend and then after SummerSlam. Like, because
that's the thing about wrestling, too, is what I've noticed is, like, so many creative people are, they love wrestling. You know, it's like it goes hand in hand. If you're, like, that's always, in wrestling, obviously, it goes into... I was saying earlier when we were growing up, it's like we found wrestling as teenagers, but then I think we found like anime and video games and that kind of the nerd world.
Porn.
But you know what I mean?
Everybody found that.
But,
you downloaded Napster, you found that.
I was a wrestling fan until I found some porn. Then I became a real big fan.
Yeah, all this fake wrestling with dudes, I'm going to see the real shit.
But yeah, the but wrestling, it goes so hand in hand with, like, I look at it like storytelling. I mean, if you're into like anime and video games and that kind of movies or whatever, it's like you're into the storytelling, and that's so similar to wrestling. I mean, I think that's why so many creative people are drawn to it, and it's like it's just got its so many crossovers with
and it's always, it's like I was talking about earlier, like people always judge and just be like, oh, this is fake and this, but I'm like, y'all don't get it. It's the story. I want to see what happened next week. Like, like, you mean to tell me that Mr. McMahon might be on a cross next week? Like, I gotta see this.
I've always heard it's like a, it's like the soap opera for men.
It is, man. It is. Like, here recently, I'm a big fan of Roman Reigns now. So that's one of my favorites. And he had this whole run where he was like champ for like 4 years in a row. And he had this group called the Bloodline, which is like his family members, like actual family
and
members.
Like, he's related to The Rock too, isn't he?
They're cousins, right? And he brought his little cousins on, which is the Uso, Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. But they had these stories that made you just like,
yeah,
be really tuned like in.
The and lore, it, you know, yeah, like history. You
yeah,
know?
You're just like, yo, it's going to happen, but yeah. You know what I mean? So it was just, it makes you tune in. But yeah, of course, we know it's fake.
Yeah.
Well, if it was real, what's the alternative? They die at the end?
Right.
You ain't got characters no more? Right. That's why we stopped doing gladiator shit.
Yeah. Right, absolutely.
So that's a similar, well, you know, on the opposite side, just like boxing, right? That is real. I mean, that's a real, you know, sport. Yeah. But I've heard, like, they're trying to take some of the wrestling stuff, or at least with maybe UFC, you know, they're trying to, like, turn that more into, like, this entertainment.
Yeah,
the storylines and things.
You kind of see it more with boxing now, yeah. which is cool. Like now they got these big stages, fireworks everywhere, yeah. and
trying
you
to,
know,
because it's like that's the thing. Boxing is huge, obviously. I don't think that's going anywhere, but obviously they want to make that WWE money too.
Yeah. You know what I hate though? I hate with like watching UFC and boxing. Yeah. Like they make these fighters try to like cut promos, yeah. like talk right. trash about the other dude. Mm-hmm. Like, no, I really respect this dude. And then you hear him talk, he was like, man, nah, come on, yeah, leave it to the wrestlers, right. man, with the promos.
That makes
bro.
Sense.
Like they try to push. Because
I mean, that's the thing. If you're a professional wrestler, it's like you really. That's why so many of them like turn into actors too. Because it's like you got to be an actor.
Yeah,
you got to know how to. You're an entertainer, not just a.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Now absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's why The Rock and John Cena got this Dave Bautista. I don't know if y'all remember Bautista, but Bautista, man, he became an actor. He got range, like
right. Yeah, no, he's a great actor. That's the thing is, I never heard of him before. He popped it.
No, that's Roman Reigns.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Roman Reigns.
Oh no. Well, Bautista is in Marvel.
Yeah, he played Drax.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he played Drax.
I can't tell because he's a different color. Right.
He blue on the movie.
Yeah. I was like, man, he walks around like
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever experienced it because I didn't follow wrestling at all at that time. So like,
yeah.
But yeah, he popped up in the Marvel movies, but he's been in a ton of like more serious and comedic stuff. He's yeah.
Oh
like
yeah,
you said,
yeah. He's super dope.
Well, John Cena too. He's funny as shit.
He's
bro,
great.
John Cena's hilarious. Peacemaker. Yeah. I haven't watched the new season of Peacemaker yet, but he does a really good job as Peacemaker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. This episode of Rhythm and Wit is brought to you by buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit, where you can go and make a $5 donation or possibly more to Rhythm and Wit. It is our way of raising money here on the podcast. And what you do is go on to buymeacoffee.com/rhythmandwit. Check out the link in the description of the video. And then what you do is you can make a donation, which is a cup of coffee. You can make a donation for one cup of coffee, which is $5, 10 cups of coffee if you can afford it, which would be amazing.
$50.
So it kind of goes from there. And what you also do is when you make the donation, it will allow you to leave a message and we will read your message here on the show. Just like Don bought 3 coffees and he says, "Stay caffeinated, fellas."
Hey.
Well, thanks, yeah. Don. Yeah. Claybar has a comment. "You both rock for highlighting the local community. Keep on showing off what creativity OK has to offer."
All right.
So that's something we love
thank
to
you.
Do.
Claybar?
So, yeah.
Claybar.
So thank you to those 2 donations. And then, yes, if you make your donation, we will shout out your message here on the channel.
Yeah.
So
we'll say your name. It's super fun. Well, is there like a... there's got to be some kind of commonality between the wrestling, comedy, just that one-on-one, it's me and the crowd, you know, like, let me entertain these people.
You're like,
put this, yeah, I'm pushing out a character.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So the character part, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's your voice? What character would you say you play on stage as a comedian? And then what character would you play as a WWE?
Or is it the same?
So, like, if I was a character in WWE, like I said, I'd be a bad guy.
Yeah.
Dude. I want people to hate me.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I want that. Because it's just respect thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I could be a good guy. Like, I'm a good guy in person.
Right.
But it's a part of me I want you to hate me a little bit. And it gives me a thrill. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Boo me, motherfuckers. I got your boy on the ground. Well, you know?
It's something that we always talk about with comedy, or you always talk about. Like, I mean, if you have a joke, right, and you're telling a joke, and it might not be a good joke, or you're trying something out, but it's like you're looking for a reaction. It doesn't matter.
For a reaction,
either
they're
going to laugh or they're going to boo.
Yes.
You know?
So with comedy, I would say this is like, I try to do, as character wise, I'm going to paint the picture for you. Like, the crowd is a canvas to me, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna paint a picture for you, right? And the characters that I talk about in my sets, I want you to be there with me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want you to ride with me. I want you, if I'm talking about me being at work, I want you to act like I'm really at work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're envisioning, the audience is envisioning.
Yeah. That's kind of, you know, what you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And the reaction that I get, I'm gonna tell you one thing I love. I love the art of silence now. Mm-hmm. Like, I've learned that. Like, you know, most comics are scared when the crowd is quiet.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh,
yeah.
They're not laughing. They're not. Now they're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now you got their attention.
Yeah.
It's different. Like, if you up there and the crowd is just quiet, they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's different when you got somebody back there like, yo,
yeah.
Did you get the French fries with the wings? Did you get the drinks? That's different.
This water's $3.
Yeah. who ordered the two waters?
That stopped me at Bricktown. Somebody was like, what?
It's like
mad at their nachos.
I hate hearing them side conversations. Did you leave that stove on at the house?
It's burned down. Quit it.
But, like, I learned it from Dave Chappelle, though. Like, you know, if you ever watch Dave Chappelle, you know, he got those, like, it's called, like, an awkward silence. Mm-hmm. But it's like, now they listening.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, that's kind of a good reaction for me. Mm-hmm. That's the feel that I want to, you know what I mean?
But, like, yeah, it's because it's like you're saying, some comics will take that and, like, they think it's negative. But it's all about your perception, how you look at that. And then whenever you hear the silence, you're like, oh, that's good.
That's good. Yeah, like, they listen. They're waiting for the next thing.
Right.
You know?
So then it's like, well, then what do you do with that? You know, it's like you have control.
Yep. Like, I can sit there and just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was at work yesterday, it's just a perfect.
And then it's like,
thing.
Yeah, you can like, because then you could even maybe in that moment think of like, oh, I was going to do this, but now let me throw this one in because this is the time to do it.
Yeah. I've came. You know what's crazy? Like, I don't know if y'all ever do this on stage, but like, I'll be in the middle of a joke that I actually wrote, and then I ask something right there, like it just pop up in my head right there, and it just like.
Yeah,
it fits right perfect. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's like a perfect, man. I love that.
That was my favorite moment.
Yeah.
I like that, and talking to people. That's like my favorite thing. It's like the jokes are just an excuse to go and talk to everybody.
Yeah. Crowd work.
Yeah.
You remember how long you been doing comedy?
3 years.
There was a time where like doing crowd work was bad. Like, and some places
like
still
the quality was bad,
or just like
no, like
it's like a general thing. Yeah, you weren't supposed to do.
You're not supposed to do crowd work.
I see.
You know, now it's like, you know, you might have some like if you're opening for somebody, they tell you don't do crowd work because of the opener. Mm-hmm. I mean, because of the headliner, which is cool. But like it used to just be like, no, you need to have a set, and then you want you do set. But now when you go online, everybody's doing crowd work.
So. Well, that's the thing is ChatGPT can't do crowd work.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
That's the next piece.
Bro, you know what's crazy? I don't know who I heard this from, but they was just like, crowd work helps them write.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you're doing crowd work and you're talking to somebody in the crowd, they might come up with a, like you're in a conversation with this person and you might just like, man, you know what? You know,
like that's it.
So that's crazy you say that because, like, yeah, because a lot I've seen a lot of comics use ChatGPT for help them write jokes, and you can tell.
Yeah,
you can tell. Yeah. You're like, now wait,
it takes the life out of it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
I try not. That's like the fun part for me. That's the whole fun part is writing. Like you can't the you're sitting part, on the porch man. Smoking a joint.
Yeah. I don't smoke joints. I eat chicken wings. chicken wings.
That's I just be out there my. Laughing at myself, my neighbors. Like, what the hell?
That's the beautiful thing. Writing is still good though. Do you write on a notepad or you do your phone?
I do it all. Like I'll write on my phone or I'll talk to my wife. Me and Liz will go over set stuff together on the porch. And I'll talk to people on the phone. I'll talk to my dad. Run jokes by him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just that porch is where I hang.
Yeah. I do the same. I do my phone, but I also. Like, I talk with my boys. My boys don't realize this, but they give me the most material.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just hanging out with them, it's just like, they'll say some crazy stuff. I'm like, I'm still effing.
Yeah.
You don't do stand up, but I'm still effing.
That's what I do with my dad. He's got a bunch of old stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's just who he is. You know, I run stuff past him, my wife, my friend Crystal, because she laughs hard at everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then my buddy Jared, because he's a redneck oil guy.
Yeah. You know?
So I got like different people different I go to for different
perspectives. You know what's good about that, though?
Yeah.
Like, you get that from people that don't do stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in that, though. Mm-hmm. I believe, like, nothing against, like, hanging out with other comedians. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the people that don't know what it's like to be on stage, their opinions matter more to me than, like, getting opinions from comedians. Which like, opinions from comedians is cool.
But it's like going to open mics, right? Like, we always talk about this. Like, most open mics you go to... It's just other comedians you're performing to.
So it's a lot
different than performing to an actual crowd.
Right. It's like, it's a competitive thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always got to at least have like two or three people with me. Like I have either my girlfriend either with me or one of my best friends.
Yeah.
And I asked them.
Yeah.
Like I asked them before I go ask another comic. Like, hey, what you think I did?
Because they don't think about it. Like comedians will think about your set. You know, they're going to. Normal person's going to point out things that a comedian might not even notice or because they're thinking about other things and you know.
Well, what a comedian knows what it feels like to bomb up there, so they don't want to hurt your feelings.
They don't want to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Like my wife don't care. She'll hurt my feelings.
Exactly. They're honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I first started, I used to be very, like, every time I see a veteran comic, I'll just be like, how you think I did? Like, what do you think I did? And they'd be like, oh, you did good.
They don't want you to quit. So
I don't care. I've never ran into a veteran comic that was just like, oh man, your set was trash tonight. Now my boy Mars, I'll take him with me to the shows, and if I do bad, he'd be like, hey bro, listen.
Yeah.
Woo, that was a tough one for you. I said, was it tough? And we can laugh about it, because that's how, you know, we good. He was like, that was a tough one for you.
He's
tonight.
Not 10 years, huh?
Yeah. You're like, hey, how long you been doing this?
That's crazy.
But he gave me an honest reaction, honest opinion. I got another boy, he's from Jersey. He does the same thing. He gave me that Jersey response. Yeah. Like, he's like, hey, yo, you need to tighten up. He was like, what you mean I need to tighten up? You need to tighten up. Like, you know, you in a different crowd tonight. Tighten up. All right, cool. But, like, those opinions, like, from people that are around you that's not instead of, man, their opinions, they help you get better.
For sure.
They help you get better.
I try to go back to where I am funny. Like, I kind of... It feels like when I'm on stage, I'm at the job box talking shit with the crew before we go work.
Yeah.
You know, like back in the day when I used to do that, or when I'm with friends shooting the shit, like drinking and hanging out outside, you know? Like,
yeah.
I try to bring those moments, or I do this too. This is fun. I'm an electrical contractor, so I go to people's houses, and so I'll try out jokes while I'm out there at people's houses.
Telling that work.
Yeah. And the best part is it keeps me clean because I can't be cussing in somebody's house.
Yeah.
And also it like, you know how hard it is to make a grandma laugh?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And she's just like, fix my electrician. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So do you ever try out your jokes on them? It works. They laugh and you go like this.
You're like, let me write this.
Let's go ahead and sign this paper. This is $10,000.
Yeah. You'd be like, got one.
I'm going to get that one.
Yeah.
Well, the joke about dad getting.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
He don't listen to this. My joke about dad getting married. He got married like real fast when he met this lady, like in three weeks. And then, and the idea is when you're old, you got to buddy up quick. You know? And so I was telling this old lady, and I was just talking to her because she had just gotten recently married to some other. They were getting a hot tub too, and so you're like, y'all about to ruin this hot tub.
Yeah.
So I was hooking it up with the intention of love. But she was just kind of talking about it, and I told her, and then he's like, yeah, her new guy, she was like, he got a whole bunch of new stuff when he married me. And I was like, oh, damn, that's probably why dad got married so fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, hold on, let me write that down real quick.
Yeah, let me go ahead and get that right down. That's the thing I like about, because I remember we had Spade on recently, and he was talking about, I mean, he was in the military, so he got to go all over the world and like meet all different people, you know, from different walks of life. And it's like, I think that's one of the keys to being good at comedy is to meet as many different kinds of people you can.
No, seriously. Yeah. Yeah.
Just because you can interact and like learn something about them.
That's why I love when I go to all the wrestling events.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, man, my first year I went to WrestleMania and I sat there in a crowd. It was like almost 100,000 people. Mm-hmm. And it was 100,000s of people. Mixed race.
Yeah, all different,
you know.
Different age ranges.
Man, people from different regions, everything. Mm-hmm. And WrestleMania weekend is like a full experience. You just meet so many different people.
That's everybody from all over the world coming out. Yeah,
yeah, so it's kind of like you meet different personalities. Mm-hmm. You meet different, you know, you have conversations. I had a conversation with a dude that was from, what was he from? Brazil, I want to say. He came from Brazil to go to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And we just sat there and just talked and just like normal people.
Especially because, I mean, y'all have that, everyone has the same thing in common.
Same thing in common.
So you can just talk about wrestling.
Yeah,
but you'll learn something about their perspective on it because, you know, they come from a different part of the world.
Yeah, yeah. And I find myself doing that, though, anywhere I go, not just WrestleMania, but anywhere I go when I travel. You know, I had a conversation with a Puerto Rican dude, and he was telling me his life, how hard it was growing up being Puerto Rican. Same, you know, it's just, I love learning about different cultures, and it just, you never know.
Yeah. I think about it, because that's the thing. When you're on stage and you look out and there'd be like a old couple over here and a young couple here and, you know, different races of people. So it's like you got to learn how to relate to all of each of them.
That's why I now have, so I used to just be like, I want to do black rooms only, right? Nah, man, I do any room. I do any room. Like, because everybody shares the same life experiences, you know what I mean? So that's why I keep it, you know, the topics that I talk about. Talk about work. I talk about relationships. Right now, one of my favorites is weight loss. You know what I mean? Everybody's trying weight loss.
Everybody's trying to lose weight. It doesn't matter who you are.
So, you know, I got some other stuff in the books, but it's not, it's like now it's for everybody.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, that's why I stay away from, like I was telling you earlier, I don't do politics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do religion jokes or nothing like that. Like, I got them in a book.
Yeah.
I just don't do them. It's just the comic in me. I write. Mm-hmm. Like, if I hear, think of something funny, I write it down. Mm-hmm. And if I know you a political comic or you a religion comic, I'm like, hey, man, I got this joke. You know, I'm going to slide it your way.
Okay. Yeah. You just like,
but,
that's nice to,
but yeah, I'm just, I'm just one of those, like, I'm for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I can't wait to come to your show on 14.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
That's always a very mixed crowd. Because that was the thing. We were just there Friday, and there was, like, there was an old couple in the front, and there was, like, some people there on the first date over here.
Yeah.
And some weird... there's this girl and she had brought her brother's friend.
That was weird.
He was trying, you could tell he was trying to get her drunk. Like, he's like, man, her brother's gonna kick your ass. Yeah. So they're all like playing with him. And then there was that old people from Indiana.
Pause. Yeah, everybody playing with him. Pause. Yeah.
Dude,
pause.
This old couple from Indiana, he's like 70-something, 79 or something. And in the middle of the set, his phone goes off. And then Pat Ferris was like, is that your life alert? You know? But he goes, no, that's for my medication. And so I got up there. I was like,
got his Lord for his medication. Yeah.
I jumped back up there. I was like, so is that for your Cialis?
Is it time to take one?
So that old guy got drunk as shit, dude. He drank like two bottles of wine. Yeah. And so we have in the room, there's only one door entrance. And on the other side, there's like a curtain where you put all the tables and chairs.
Yeah.
And so they get up and they're both like, and they're
stumbling,
walking back to that curtain.
Yeah.
And they're like, how do we get out of here? All that shit. And then I walk over there, like, hey, it's on the other side. She's like, where's the bathroom? And I was like, oh, it's just in the back to the right.
Yeah, I remember they left. I thought they might have left because they didn't like the show. But
So I get up there. I get back up there because they left. They got their jackets and they went to the bathroom. They stumbled out the door.
Yeah.
But I was like, hey, did y'all see that? They just went try to fuck behind them curtains. So I went over there and stopped them. I told them, you take that shit to the bathroom.
That's hilarious. I love people make shows funny, man. Yeah, I love it.
But that's the best part about Comedy on the Spot is it's all interactive.
That show was all made up. There's no pre-written material allowed at that show.
Some
people do, but
you do a set.
But it's like, I mean, it's supposed to be based on topics that people throw out or you pull out of a bucket.
Yeah. Yo, I want to do one of those, man.
Oh, it's fun.
Yeah. Really?
Well, I'll put you on the next one for January.
Yeah.
Let me know. Shoot me a day.
Because I think November's booked, and then we don't do one in
December.
I'll try not to book shows in December. Mm-hmm. I told myself I wasn't gonna book any shows during the holidays.
Yeah,
because I just like to, you know, refresh.
And people don't. I mean, it's hard to get people out. A lot of people. Yeah. I've heard other different comics will say that. There's like, we're taking the next 2 months off.
You know what I do like though? I do like doing New Year's Eve though.
Oh yeah.
New Year's Eve going into the New Year's comedy shows. I do like those.
Yeah. Because there's always a Thanksgiving one, right? At Bricktown, they do like a big.
Oh yeah, I'm on the one in Tulsa.
What's that? What you doing in Tulsa?
It's there's a Thanksgiving bash or something, like Eve bash.
Yeah. At the Bricktown Comedy Club?
Yeah, at Tulsa Bricktown Comedy Club.
I think that one's probably...
I might pull up and come see.
The day before Thanksgiving. I think it's the
26th, maybe?
26th. Yeah. All
right.
It's the 26th.
Yeah, but those are... I mean, I've heard... they do them every year, and it's like it seems like... I've never been, but that seems like a good time to... you know, an exception to that rule.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like the New Year's Eve thing, too.
Yeah, I experienced... When I used to live in Dallas, I experienced one. It was just like, okay, this is cool. Yeah. It was a party. Mm-hmm. It was... Tony Rock was the headliner that weekend.
Yeah.
And it was just...
Right. But yeah, because everybody's trying to get out and do something, especially something different.
Yeah.
It's like, I remember I used to be the worst, like, New Year's Eve, like...
going out
person. What is it, like the amateur hour or something?
Yeah.
I would always get drunk by 10 p.m. and be like, never.
Like,
it was terrible.
I'm either, I want to be in a house or I want to go somewhere. But then when I want to go somewhere, I'm just like, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
So that, like, when I start hearing about New Year's Eve comedy shows,
But that's like a good alternative. Because I don't even drink now. It's been almost 3 years I'm drank. So like, but yeah, doing so it's like if I went out on New Year's Eve, it's like shit, I'm not drinking, so I need it. But doing a comedy show, that'd be something different that's not the same kind of thing everybody's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. As soon as my kids are out of the house, I'm going to start doing that. Yeah. We do a December.
A little Christmas party.
Show. We could do a December 12th where I headline, but really it's just like a party for everybody that's come out to the throughout the year. I buy some bottles of wine and shit.
Yeah.
And then it's all of my favorite people throughout the year.
Yeah,
you know, or comics. Who agreed to come.
That's dope. Yeah, I like
so that we're doing that one, but it's really just like a Christmas party.
Yeah,
it's not like it's
pretty
fun.
Chill.
Last time I couldn't even get a word out. It was just rowdy in there.
Yeah,
because it's like everybody, all your friends come out, all our old friends.
I beg everybody. I call mom, dad, family. You know.
Yeah,
or not mom, but
a lot
dad.
Of people come out to that one that don't make it to the other shows during the year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a fun time, dude.
Yeah.
But I usually take off. I try to take off that next 2 weeks and just chill.
Yeah.
Because there's something about resting.
Right.
Right? Keeping, because I'm at the point now where, dude, I'm doing so much, but I'm trying to normalize being uncomfortable. That's where I'm at.
Yes.
I'm trying to, like, okay, I'm stretching myself. I'm doing shows. I'm putting on tons of shows. Last night, I got to do a set. I didn't have to host. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
You know? And then I'll try to stretch myself, and that way whenever I rubber band back, I'm a little bit further off than I was before.
I'm the same way. I'm getting like that right now. Like I'm so busy. Like I got, you know, I got shows booked, got work too as well, full time dad, you know, so it's I'm trying to balance out life right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just now getting to a point. That's why I say I don't want anyone booking my shows on holidays, because I want to get my mind refresh. Mm-hmm. I want to write a little bit more. I'm trying to work on a new hour, you know. So it's kind of just like I'm trying to get my mind refreshed and just relax a little bit and not have to be all over the place. So
get a little reset for the, and then hit January and
Work. I'm already working on 2026, so it's just like
How do you book out? How far do you usually book out or keep yourself booked out?
So I start. So, like, for 2026, I already have shows booked. I try to start reaching out to people, or people reach out to me probably, like, August. Mm-hmm. August. No lie, after I did Tibbs Mania, I started getting calls.
Yeah, that's great.
So, it really depends. Like, I might get booked today once I leave here, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, for a show in March next year. So, like, right now, I have a show booked in, I don't want to say where I'm at right now, but, like, I got a show in January, I got a show in February, March, and then April, right before WrestleMania. So
you try to keep yourself every weekend, or you just...
I haven't made the every weekend yet. Yeah. I haven't made... Like, right now, I just got to twice a month now.
Yeah.
Just got to twice a month. But I do want... I want that... That's a goal for me. I want to go on tour. Let's just say that. No, I want to go...
Especially being in Oklahoma, it's like, I mean, because you're, Tulsa is even better for this, but it's like you can hit up Missouri, you know, you can go to different states and just go for the weekend, come back, you know.
Yeah, that's a good example. So I did a show in Joplin a couple of weeks ago. It's there and back.
That's close, too.
Yep. I did a show in Wichita. Mm-hmm. I'm going to Arkansas here in a few weeks, and I'm coming here.
Yeah, so, Oklahoma City for sure. Yeah. So yeah, it's always the best thing about just shooting off, getting different towns around here.
Yeah,
and we'll get you on a comedy on the spot.
Yeah.
So it's like literally, it's just like you pull the topic out.
Well, we have it like coming from different directions. Like you can crowd work.
Yeah,
like I ask the crowd to yell stuff out. Mm-hmm. I put bags of stuff in front of them with topics in it.
Yeah,
and then we have a bucket that we can pull from.
Yeah.
So every direction, there's no reason why you can't get it. Sometimes the crowds like they're introverted or something. Yeah. They're like shy.
They shy. No. If I'm on the show, we're gonna have fun. We're gonna have fun.
But halfway through, they get drunk and then they start coming out.
Yeah, I talked to I did a show Friday night at a cigar lounge. I was talking to an old couple. They was probably at least in their 70s.
Yeah,
but I talked about fucking. I'm like, I know, but I have a curious question. I'm like, are y'all okay? Like, y'all still be fucking?
Yeah.
You know, y'all close to 80. And old dude, he was just so drunk. He was like, at least once a year. Yeah. At least once a year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I told that one guy. You remember?
Yeah.
Because I was like, man, when does it stop?
Yeah.
I was like, when can I start thinking?
Yeah. You know, I'm curious.
Yeah. He was like, it don't. I'm still hitting it.
Yeah. It's like, and I'm like, what did it look like? like, what does it look like?
You ever take a sheet and do like this?
Yeah. Y'all still role play? Role play too? Yeah. No.
Role play being alive. I hope I get old and I'm still trying.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I want to get to that point. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get to the point where I wake up and just like... Me and my dick is just like,
we're here for companionship.
Yeah.
That's what my dad is. I mean, he said, he's like, man, I don't really fuck around. I don't care about that no more. I just like going out in the garden with her. I was like, oh, that's kind of sweet.
See, I don't want to get that way, man. I don't want to be like, I'll just get a little satisfaction sitting here watching her stories. That's
it. Bonanza.
Bonanza
and the squirrels. All they're watching.
You know, we sit out in the porch and we just drink wine together. I'm like, nah, fuck that.
Yeah. Dude, he's got his diabetes. He can't even. He's just like, I just enjoy water. That's my favorite. Like, oh, that's how bad his diabetes is. Yeah. I gotta watch my sugar, so I get to drink this water and eat this keto bread. And I just watch the squirrels. That's all.
He was forced.
Yeah.
You know, I just like water.
I just like water now.
I like rice cakes.
Sparkling water?
Yep. I got too much sugar. You got 1 gram of sugar in there. Too much sugar.
I can't be eating that French stuff. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
But nah, man, he is like that, though.
Yeah, I like that.
One question we always like to ask the comics is, like, what's, like, one of the biggest lessons that you've learned from comedy? Because we used to always ask this question about, like, what was your biggest bomb? You know, that's, like, how people will learn something valuable from that. But it can be anything, because that's always, especially doing it for so long, you've probably got some kind of tidbits.
That's what I'm here for, baby.
One of my biggest lessons, so when I write, when I prepare for a show, first thing I put in my notes is have fun. Mm-hmm. I think that's the biggest thing for me is I want to have fun. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if my set goes bad or if it's super good. As long as I have fun.
Yeah.
And I encourage every comic that way. That kind of kills the nerve a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I can show you, like, right before I write my notes.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Always has that right up top so you can...
Priority.
Yeah. Number one, before you get into your set... How fun.
Yeah. So that's like your notes when you bring them on stage, right? That's where it says it.
Yeah. Like right before I go into, like the way I write, I do like bullet points and then I do segues.
Okay.
But at that very, very top, always. It says, have fun, bro. That's probably one of my biggest lessons.
So was there like a time where you like forgot that or like were maybe trying to get too serious into the process or something and had to remind yourself?
Yeah, so rest in peace to Veli Vel. That was one of my mentors. I had did a show, and I was drinking before the show. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't drink before the show now because of this. And I'm just like, because I'm nervous because there was nobody in the audience. Yeah. It was just like, it was like more like six people in there. But it was in the big theater, and it was like six people in there spread out.
Yeah,
I was so nervous, and I remember getting drunk and I get on that stage and I just like bombed, bro. Like, bombed, right? We in the car coming back, he said, man, you gotta have fun. Mm-hmm. He said, you gotta have fun. You ain't gotta drink. You ain't gotta drink. These motherfuckers came to laugh.
Yeah.
No matter if it's one person or 100,000, they came in here to have fun. And that was just like a moment where I took from him and I was just like, okay. Yeah. From now on, I'm just going to have fun. I don't care. So now, like, and I love this when I do shows with a lot of comics that are new, right? They're nervous. Mm-hmm. And I still get nervous and I still get, you know, I get that, like, I can't wait.
Energized.
Yeah. I still get nervous too. But when I watch other comics get nervous and they looking over their notes and their sets, like, it's like five people in the crowd. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
All I can think to myself is, fuck it, just have fun.
Yeah.
When I see him freaking out, I go over there, I'll be like, man, if you didn't study it now, you ain't going to be good.
You ever see those comics, they be like, oh, damn. Oh, shit. What I'm going to hit him with? I got, so like Friday night, like, it wasn't that many people in the crowd, right? And, you know, I could see the experienced comic. You know, he was sitting over there going over his notes. Then the newer comic, he was just chilling. Me, I'm just like, fuck it. I'm about to just go.
It's like,
I'm going to make it do what it do. Like, I come how I grew up, you know what I mean? Like, we didn't have a lot of gourmet meals. We had to make bologna sandwiches and beans and wings. You had to make it do what it do. Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at.
That's good.
That's one of those big lessons.
I always notice this about comics that have been doing it. Because remember, we saw, what was his name? Michael Patton, right? Like, I mean, he's been doing it for so long. Or, like, even Evan Hughes, right? Like, we had each of them come down and do a show here, and I've seen them. I guess that was really the only time I've ever seen Evan perform. But watching him perform, it was like magic. Like, something, like, because, and somebody, I think when you get to that point where it's like you can just get up there and just start pulling stuff out of your head that you've done over 10 years or more. You know, it's like, and then jokes will just come up, you know, that you've done. And it's like, it was just so effortless. Yeah. I think. Is that, do you feel like you're at that point a little bit? Or?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely at that point.
Where you can just kind of do, you don't even have to make any notes. You can just get on stage and start. And jokes will just come up when they should.
So here's the thing with me. Like, yeah, I could do that.
Yeah.
Like, but that's how I know I'm hitting a plateau.
Yeah.
If I'm just like, man, I'm about to just do this little 20-minute set, like boom, 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 boom. That means I need a challenge.
Right.
Like I need a challenge. Mm-hmm. I need to be somewhere where I can fire off new jokes. Mm-hmm. Just boom, 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 boom. I am also at a point now, too, where I'm on stage and I could tie in jokes that I probably wrote 3 years ago and it fits right into what I'm talking about.
I think, is like with those guys, it's like, man, you just pull that out of nowhere. Like, it seems like, but it's like, no, you told that joke 5 years ago.
Yeah, I told that joke 5 years ago. Like, I had a joke about a stuttering dog, man.
Yeah.
And I also got a joke about somebody pronouncing a word wrong. I call it the pedestrian joke, but the girl meant pedestrians.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of tied those two in together, and then we were talking about old people. So I got a bit where I do. I used to just talk about what's the key to a successful relationship, and if I see an older crowd, if I see an older person in the crowd, and I ask how long they've been together, and they'd be like, oh, we've been together 40 years. I'm like, let me see. You been together? Yeah, you look like you've been together 40 years. He got a picture of you in his wallet right now. You know? Like, and that was something that I did as a joke first, but it tied in together. So I was just like, oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm good at this.
Awesome.
Yeah. You just start picking stuff out and keeping it. Do you record yourself?
Oh, yeah.
No.
That's you don't record yourself?
No.
Memos, voice memos, or anything?
No,
never.
No, I don't like to hear myself.
Yeah,
I don't like to. I just now got to a point where I'm watching videos of myself, but you know, I'm on my own biggest critic.
Yeah, right? You're like, already overthinking it anyway.
Man, like even if I can't watch myself and study myself. It's just like,
But I think that's
look at his shirt. I start judging myself. Yeah. Why are you so fat? Why he got that? Look at him.
Who's looking? Anybody watching that?
He can't even breathe.
Ugly
look at
motherfucker.
Him. Yeah. That's me, man. Like, I critique myself bad.
Yeah.
And where I have to, so what I do now, I just send my videos to some, you know, like we was talking about how family members.
Yeah.
I just send it to one of my boys and be like, hey, watch this and let me know.
Yeah.
I did a podcast. I did somebody's podcast and I didn't go back and listen to it because I was scared because I didn't know how I sounded, right? So one of my boys, he said, man, I sat there and watched it. It was really good.
Yeah.
Really good. I'm going to watch this one, though.
Yeah.
Tell us that lie.
Yeah. I'm going to watch this one.
We'll tell you about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, something we always tell people or try to encourage is like, two comics is like record yourself and watch yourself back.
I agree.
Because I think a lot of people that does help, but it makes sense that like some people don't need that thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like you were saying,
if you're already
thinking about your set constantly and like always trying to tweak it and improve
it. So I'm better at it now, man. I will say I am better at it. Like now I know, you know, I can sit back and kind of, like I try to close my eyes and just like, okay, let me listen.
Uh-huh.
And if I hear a joke. So the reason why, though, because I had did a show, and I think it was at the Looney Bin. I did a show. I opened up for somebody, and I was wondering why this crowd didn't laugh at this joke I usually do, right? My girl recorded it. She sent it to me, and I was watching it, and I said the same word twice. I was like, oh, that's why they didn't laugh, because I said this instead of this. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
But
I do agree. Mm-hmm. I should watch myself a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's the reason, too, because it's like, even if, you know, it's like you'll try to remember the set and you'll remember it wrong. You know, if you have a video, that's what happened. You know, like you can't misremember that because it's like there.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think there's small things. That's like something I've learned from doing podcasts and stuff. Like, I rewatch all of my stuff, like everything we do. I edit it too.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm always constantly rewatching myself do this and talk to people. So I'm like, so that, it's like in doing that, even if I'm not doing it for the purpose of making myself better, it's still going on. Like,
yeah.
I still notice things that the way I say things, the way I ask questions, and it's like, well, it's like, no, I didn't like the way I asked that. So it's like, right. I'm going to ask it a little different next time or something. I mean,
and also, like, and I was joking, but I just watched my set I did at Blue Whale Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
And I did not like my appearance, man. Like, one thing I'm big on is appearance on stage, right? And I got back in the gym quick.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, man, it's time to get back in the gym. Right. Like, now it's not just about getting healthy.
Yeah.
It's about that. It's about, you know, being healthy. But it's also like, a lot of people don't understand, being on that stage is it's some work.
Yeah.
So it's like, I heard myself breathing a certain way, and I was just like, oh, man, I got
to That's the thing, because, I mean, that's why I always encourage people to watch themselves, because so many people are afraid of, they don't like the way they sound, they don't like, but it's like, okay, you need to look at that, because that's how you know.
Get better.
Yeah, if you, it's like, that's going to encourage you to change what you don't like about yourself.
Right, well, if you're not willing to watch yourself, how do you expect other people to?
Right,
that's my question.
Right,
too.
Right.
This helps me, and you can take this if you want to, but I'll work.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go to work, and I'd work on somebody's stuff, and I usually have headphones in, and then I'll shuffle it in between songs, so when it pops up, I can't do nothing about it.
Really? You can do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, how
well,
you do
I
that?
I just save it, and then I do have like a little thing, like
you
on
take
my Spotify,
the voice?
And then I'll just switch it up. I'll just switch it on my phone.
Yeah, put it in there.
I'm going to try that.
But it worked. It, like, for me, it's like, I'll just listen to it, work, and then as I'm passively listening to it, I don't heart myself with a crappy stuff.
You're not paying that much attention to it, but you're still taking it in.
You can wash dishes. You can play with your kids. I'm not paying attention doing that. You know, like, we can.
Yeah.
You can watch, you play Pokemon with your kids.
Yeah.
What's this word, Dad? Disgruntled.
It's just be the worst when you listen. You say, "We're like, who the fuck is this sounding like that? Oh, that's me. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Dad, you cuss too much in this.
Yeah, you cuss way too much.
We're listening. What, did you think it was funny?
Yeah, what you think about that?
Well, that my daughter and we didn't write this joke together, but she got me the idea.
The Hogwarts joke.
Oh, man.
It's a stupid joke. But we were watching Harry Potter, and she was like, "You should write a joke about Hogwarts." And so I was like, "Oh, Hogwarts, that sounds like a STI that big girls get."
That's hilarious.
And but I couldn't tell her that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But she gave you the idea.
Yeah, she exactly. did. Yeah. But she does that shit. She likes to write jokes and stuff with me. So
that's the youngest one.
Iris.
Yeah.
She's probably going to be a McKinney.
No. You said you just have one kid?
Yeah, I have a daughter.
Yeah.
I have a daughter.
How old?
She's 15.
Oh, 15.
Yeah, she's 15.
That's a tough age.
Does she like, I meant to ask this earlier, but is she into like anything like wrestling or comedy or anything that
she
you do?
She loves anime.
Okay, yeah.
She loves anime.
Yeah.
So she's not big on wrestling.
Right.
You know, no, wrestling is my thing, right? You know. But she picked up the anime bug.
Yeah.
And she, I mean, like, we go to, she got me into Demon Slayer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I love Demon Slayer. Now we get to go see this Chainsaw Man. That this shit.
Yeah, there's a new movie, I think. I heard about that.
That shit is hilarious to me.
I haven't.
Because when we went to go see Demon Slayer and this trailer came out, and it was in Japanese. And it was just screaming, and then all you hear this dude transform into a chainsaw. Yeah, I said, he turned into a chainsaw? What kind of shit is this? I ain't never seen a man turn into a chainsaw. But I sat down and watched I guess it was like one season before the movie comes out. I said, yo, this shit is actually pretty good.
Okay.
But try to explain it to your boys who's not an anime fan. Yo, I just watched this show, right? It's about a dude that turned into a chainsaw. They go, like, what? But you just gotta watch.
Well, he's got emotions about it.
Yeah, he got it.
He's like fighting through something.
He's going through some shit.
Yeah.
So his way to get over it, he turned into a chainsaw. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
He saves people. It's fine. Yeah. Well, you watch Dragon Ball Z growing up, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's where I found my moral fortitude was Goku. You know what I'm saying?
But here's the thing, though. When you was growing up watching Dragon Ball Z, you didn't know that was considered anime. You knew it was anime,
it was
but you didn't know.
It was just on TV. Yeah.
Right, yeah, it was just on TV as a kid. Mm-hmm. So I used to watch Pokemon, Digimon, Dragon Ball Z, Gundam, I'm a big Power Rangers fan too, yeah. But yeah, you don't consider that anime, but
yeah, well, you get a Trigun. Still like Japanese
Trigun. You remember that?
Yes,
one?
I remember Trigun.
Bash the Stampede.
Yeah. So like I did how I did love the Japanese culture growing up as a kid. So I see how she picked that up. She don't know that.
Yeah,
you know.
But
she
still, but like I said, there's still something about. I mean, because that's the thing is there's so much similarities between wrestling and anime. I feel like in the vibes and like just the wild stories and stuff.
The story and the characters, man. It goes hand in hand. Yeah. She likes what is that one? Don't kill me if I get it wrong. Juju Kaju?
Yeah, Juju. Yeah, I know what that is. I've heard the name, about? But yeah, I'm not like. I mean, we grew up watching all.
She'll
kinds
kill
of
me
stuff,
if she heard me say it, and she'll be like, "Oh,
I know."
Oh.
Yeah,
you know, teenagers.
I definitely
so
heard
stupid.
It. I know one that everybody's into now is K-pop Demon Hunters. Is
Demon
Hunters?
No, Demon Slayers. Demon Slayer.
No. It's a K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's a new. It's
if
like,
she was here, she would have told
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like everybody's into that right
she
now.
She made me order some goddamn noodles from Japan. I'm like,
you know how bad tariffs are right now?
Yeah,
they try to get $20 noodles.
$25 for a pack of noodles. I'm like, daddy, these are the best noodles in the world. I'm like, you can go to Dollar General and get some Top Ramen for 75 cents a bag. Yeah,
that's hilarious.
American made.
Yeah.
That's funny, dude. No, that my youngest daughter, they'll eat the candy just because it's like it feels. I mean, I did it too, man. I went to what's that place? Suncoast.
Suncoast. Yeah. No, I didn't have that.
Yeah, that was in the mall. But yeah, that was awesome.
This episode of Rhythm and Wit was brought to you by Campbell & Son Electric, Oklahoma City's trusted one-truck electrical contractor with over 20 years of experience in the field. Whether it's upgrading your home's electrical service, troubleshooting issues, or tackling small commercial projects, Campbell & Son Electric delivers top-notch work with care and attention you'd expect from a family business. Servicing areas like Dell City, Edmond, Yukon, Mustang, and beyond, they're your go-to for reliable expert service. Need help with your next project? Visit CampbellAndSonElectric.com today and get it done right the first time. Campbell & Son Electric, brightening Oklahoma, one wire at a time. So what do you got coming up? You got anything fun coming up other than our show on November 14th at Put a Cork in a Winery at 7 p.m.?
Put a Cork in a Winery. November 14th, I will be here.
Yeah.
Other than that, what else do I got coming up,
big
man?
Big shows.
I got shows in Arkansas, but nobody from Arkansas will be listening to this.
Not yet.
That. Yep. Coming. Yeah. Coming soon. That's pretty much it, man. Yeah, I'm just getting ready for November 14th. Like, this is kind of the time of the year where it kind of slows down for me. So it's just like, I try not to go too crazy. Yeah. But 2026 is going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of stuff planned. Tibbs Mania 2 is going to happen next year. So. Yeah. And I want it to be
Tibbs Mania 2.
You know what time of year you're going to try to do that? Maybe towards the end of the year or fall or something like that?
Man, I got a couple of dates.
Okay.
I got a couple of dates. So I was going to do it in February for my birthday, but I don't want to do birthday theme shows. Yeah. I don't want to do. So one thing I'm trying to get away from is those theme shows, right? Mm-hmm. Like the birthday bash,
right.
St. Patrick's Day jam. Like I'm trying to get away from that. I want it to be like a
its own thing,
an event people come to.
Right.
You look forward to coming. You dress nice. It's a date night. Okay. It's a you know, not just a theme show.
Another holiday.
Yeah, a Halloween comedy party. Put on your best costumes. Everybody is dressed like Art the Clown. No, nah, so, but yeah, 2026, man, we working. I was telling you earlier, I'm going to try to bring back the Tibbs Mania podcast. I'm getting into streaming, so.
Yeah.
What are you streaming?
Doing some games.
I don't know yet, man. Like, I'm a big wrestling fan. I want to do the WWEs. And
oh, yeah, for sure. Those games. Those are.
Me and my boys are hilarious on the chats when we play Call of Duty and Battlefield. So, and we're just like, bro, we got to put this on.
Just
like, me too.
Record, man.
Man. Somebody just hit record.
Yeah,
so,
that's great.
I kind of want to get into that, man. Yeah. So.
That's a fun one, especially for comics. That's something we don't talk about enough because I love watching. I watch Twitch all the time and YouTube.
Yeah.
So it's like, I love it, but it's like, man, I want to try it one day just myself to get into that. But it's like so much, I feel like I don't have the time.
Yeah, we have right to stay now. Consistent. You have to show up.
You
got to
stay consistent.
For sure.
You gotta,
if you want to grow
you
it.
You got to stop working.
But yeah. But
my daughter got me into watching streamers this past year. Mm-hmm. And I was against it, you know what I mean? Because she was a big fan of Kai Cenat.
Yeah, I heard that name.
She was a big fan of Kai Cenat. And I was watching his stream one day, just watching her watch this stream. Yeah. And I was just like, what the fuck they doing?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, nothing.
Yeah. Just be like, sitting there.
And it was just a bunch of his friends, and they just at the house chilling, doing nothing. Just nothing. And I was just like, you know, you got friends too.
Yeah.
You're like, y'all could be sitting around the house doing nothing. Like, yo.
Damn, dude. Is that where we're at? We're just, like, hanging out.
Hey, man, kids nowadays be watching these streamers do nothing.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, you could go outside, do the same thing they doing.
Yeah.
You can go have a water balloon fight, too. You know that, right? Well, they just make it look so fun.
I don't want to get wet.
Yeah. They're having so much fun. You can have fun, too. Yeah. but it's a respect thing now. I actually sat and watched. He did like a stream for 30 days straight.
Yeah.
And he was at his mansion and he brought all these celebrities in and it was pretty dope to see. Yeah. I was just like, oh, okay, cool.
There's something about it. Because it's like, I mean, there is, you know, you're watching somebody with a camera in their house recording themselves. And it's like, that's real. That's the most real you can get.
So what you saying that? I was thinking to myself, I was like, not everybody can do this.
Yeah.
Like Nate created it.
Yeah.
He's like, streaming has become like a genre itself, like music, comedy, streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And some streamers are, I don't know if y'all know who Ice Show Speed is.
He's
another streamer. Yeah, and all he do streamer. Is just go, he's day to day. He came through Oklahoma City and he went to Brahms for the first time.
Yeah.
And he was just like,
doing a video. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like, they call it IRLs, real life stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just like...
Live streaming?
Yeah, live streaming. Not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Right. What did he say about Brahms?
He loved it.
Yeah.
Man, his whole life changed. And I was crazy. My boy from Jersey, when he told me when he first moved here and he had Brahms for the first time, I said, this shit changed your life, didn't it?
Yeah.
I was like, but that ain't the best burger in Oklahoma.
No.
But it's crazy to see where we at now in 2025. Kids watching these other streamers and it's just like, I couldn't do that. Put that fucking camera down in my house.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel bad. My kid, will talk to his girlfriend FaceTime and then they'll just be FaceTiming in his room and I'm over here playing a video game, but fuck, you know, losing.
Yeah. Is that your dad over there?
It's like, hey man, turn that shit off. I'm over here having a moment.
Yeah. Ain't nothing worse with your kids.
Mom and dad fighting in the background.
I remember you always used to say like he'd get home from school every day and then go turn on Fortnite. And then that was like where he'd hang out with his friends after school.
Oh,
like,
listen, I lost my shit one day with my daughter. My daughter has a friend that doesn't live here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, hey, me and my friend, we're going to get ready to get online. I'm like, who's your friend?
Yeah.
They were like, my friend such and such. And I'm like, why you got friends online? It just felt weird. Yeah. But kids nowadays is how they get friends now. Yeah. I'm like, y'all don't meet friends the old way. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I fucking hate to say it, but he had a buddy that was a little older that he was playing with, and the guy was cool. You know, I was like, hey, man, I got to hear it.
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then he seemed all right, you know.
Is that, well, I was just online with your son.
Yeah. Well, my son has the same deep-ass voice.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, what's up?
Yeah. And then,
so he just sounds like a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
But no, he would come home. And then my son's really good at problem-solving and collective problem solving.
Same with my daughter. Yeah,
yeah,
she's the same way.
She just gets in a group and all four of them just start.
Yeah.
Before when I was younger, I don't know if you remember, whenever you're doing group projects, you're like, I don't know if I like him. I want to hang out with her.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
But they're used to jumping in together.
There's something about it. I mean, then that's the thing, right? Because it's like, as the older generations, like it does feel weird. I think when you see that and you see these kids, you know, all doing stuff online together, but that's the way the world is now. Mm-hmm. So we got to accept it. But there is a lot of good things that can come from it too.
They survived through the pandemic.
Yeah,
doing that.
For sure.
They were social during the pandemic. Yeah. You know, it was viable.
The thing is, like, I think that it is, I think, I do think, I agree, like, it is better to meet people in real life
and go out
into the world. Yeah. That's, there's something that's very, very valuable about that, putting yourself into the world. But, the, I mean, at least, I mean, there is another world that we have that's,
yeah,
you can still be social and still meet people and interact.
I'll go back to, like, with wrestling, right?
Yeah.
Like, when I went, like I said, when I went to that first WrestleMania, and all of these different people got the same common thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I was sitting there, I was like, this could end racism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like sporting right. events and
sports or any
music.
Any, yeah.
That can kill racism. Mm-hmm. That can kill all of the, nobody in here talking about politics.
Yeah.
We all came here for one reason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's
let's
the same
watch the Undertaker
way.
Die.
Because that's the thing.
Yeah. We're here to see the Undertaker get buried.
No violence against each other, but I hate that motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
Oh, you hate him too? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing about wrestling. I guarantee you there's people that are on both sides of the political aisle on both extremes even all gather for the same reason.
Yeah.
And,
holding up the same sign.
And that's how I lead with my heart, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I have friends that's you know, on the other side of the you know, the political side.
Right.
Same with the religious side, but I'm not judging you based off of that, man. Like, we don't talk about that.
Right.
Let's keep that away. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a cool relationship.
Yeah.
You know, I don't judge people based off what, you know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, I definitely, politics is, definitely. But I think a lot of it too is like, there's almost like too much attention put on it.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. Yeah.
It's a microscope.
Like, you know, sometimes I cut my TV because I don't want to hear
it.
You know what I mean? Like when I'm listening to podcasts and stuff like that, man, I'm listening for sports. I'm listening for comedy. I'm listening for wrestling. You know, I'm listening for different stuff. Positivity.
Mm-hmm.
Just well, politics feels like sports right now. It feels like two sides. It's like competition.
They need to become, I feel like everybody just need to put on some boxing gloves and just get out of the ring.
Just do it for real.
We're talking shit.
Yeah.
Or soccer boppers. Something real silly.
Have a water balloon fight.
Yeah.
Something. Make it an event. Something. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, how come nobody does that? Where it's like, all right, man, we're all going to play paintball. If you get hit, you're out. Last person that wins, that's who's in charge.
There was something.
You know?
Sound fine to me?
Nobody died and everybody got to get
let's
it
have
out.
A cool hoop session. Like, let's see who can make the most threes in this game.
That's the winner gets to choose the whatever policy. Always like asking this question kind of towards, or you know, but what's one of the biggest challenges that you're currently facing in like comedy or life or whatever it is?
I'm glad you asked that.
Yeah.
One of my biggest challenges right now is I need a challenge.
Okay,
I'm ready
to
do
reaching that next plateau.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Like I love where I'm from, you know what I mean? But I need that challenge.
Yeah.
I need that challenge, man. I've started reaching out to people in other places where I could come hit the stages.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see different people faces, man.
New
like doing the show with you on the 14th. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to do it because it's been a minute since I've been to Oklahoma City.
Yeah,
and I've been wanting to come here for a while, and I want to come here on a regular basis.
Yeah,
like I want to look on the schedule and just be like, got Oklahoma City.
Yeah, because it's like just being as close as it is, it's like you should do this at least like every other month. I mean,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
well, you know Brandon Kilo, right? You know,
yeah, that's my dog. Yeah.
He does shows all every.
He's hooked up with Twisters
several
right now.
Times a month.
I heard about Twisters. Where's where's it at?
It's coming around. It's a Memorial and
Western.
Probably
about like maybe 15 minutes north of here. Mm-hmm.
Really,
I mean, this house.
Yeah, I like to be there. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
not far.
I want to get there, but that's just one of my biggest challenges right now, man. It's like I love stand up comedy to death, man. This is like if you go on my page, you see my hashtag comedy is life.
Yeah.
So. So, yeah, it's just like I'm ready to see more people, want to experience more, and I need that challenge. And that's pretty much it. Life-wise, that's it. That's pretty
yeah.
I need some more money. like,
just
I'm trying
like
to get paid. Yeah,
sure.
Like, yeah.
Same here. Same
yeah.
Here.
Yeah, that's great. I like hearing that because that's, I think that's one challenge for, even if you don't think about that, I think it's a challenge for every comedian is trying to find new audiences. I think that's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, like it's not that I hate where I'm from or no, I love.
But it's like you've done it. You've done every club there, I'm sure, countless times. So.
Like, and you know, I'm not going to lie to you. And, you know, I believe in, you know, closed mouth don't get fed.
Yeah.
I want those big shows.
Yeah.
I want those big shows. Bigger I want those theater shows. Mm-hmm. I want to see when I walk out on that stage, I just see that or hear the, you know what I mean? Like, I want that feel where it's like, I still get nervous before the show, but I want to get that, and I haven't had it in a long time where I'm about to shit myself.
Yeah.
that's the moment that that's what I'm looking for. Like that right there helps you become a better comedian.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have to put on a show.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to do. I want to put it's on like the show.
You want to feel the pressure.
I want to feel, man, like challenge me. Yeah. Like I'm not saying like booing me or anything, right, but it's just like, if I know that the number on the show says, oh, you got 5,000 people. God.
Yeah.
Shit. All right, here we go. Now I'm sweating. Like, oh, okay. I mean, what am I going to hit him with tonight?
Do you think, would you be more nervous? I mean, because this, obviously, one of them you've probably done before, but it's like, would you be more nervous to do like a 5,000 or five people? 5,000 people, or if you knew there was only five people in the room?
That's crazy.
Because they're both hard.
My brother says, my brother said he gets nervous when he does a lot more people. Like, like five people, he cool.
Yeah.
He good.
Is that easier for you, maybe?
But when he sees there's a lot of people out there, he gets super nervous.
Yeah.
With me, I take, like, if like you said, 5,000 people, head up. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready to get this. Mm-hmm. I need to get this. It's like before a big game. Like, it's like, bring it on, motherfuckers. Yeah. I'm ready. 5,000 people, like, I'm about to tear y'all asses up.
Take it on.
Five people, I'm like, all right, man, I'm just going to go here and just...
Yeah, see what happens.
This is going to be a great conversation.
Yeah. I'm just going to do whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Because the most I've done was 1,000.
Yeah.
No, 500.
Okay.
500. Yeah. And when I tell you that whole month of me getting ready for that, I'm like, I'm about to wear this.
Yeah. Thinking every detail.
This cologne, my beard is going to be combed. Like, oh, the ladies is going to be there too. Okay. Yeah. All right. I got to look good. All right. Now I'm in the mirror practicing my joke. I'm going to turn this way when I do this. like I'm turning this way. Okay. Okay. Now I'm going to turn this way. No. Maybe if I do it like this, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah, you say five people, I'm going to be like, all right. So.
Yeah.
You know, just here to get this.
I'm just going
to
turn over here.
Yeah. I'm going to just find the funny in that.
Yeah.
But so, now I think I get more nervous when it's just less people in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that scares me.
Well, you said you got a little bump after Looney Bin, right? And then you've been trying to book more bigger spots. How are you attacking that? How are you approaching that? Are you reaching out to people or
both.
Places? Or?
Both. Like, I'll tell you this. So next year, I just want to do more comedy festivals next year.
Yeah, festivals are good.
Like, so I'm waiting for everybody's submission to open up, and I'm just putting in for different submissions. I want to go to Austin.
Yeah.
Austin is on that list, man. I got the date circle on when I want to go to Austin.
You going to try to get on Kill Tony?
What do you think about Kill Tony?
I like it, man. I like so. Okay, I'll say this. You know, I told you earlier I don't get into the. You know.
Yeah.
I've been a fan of comedy for so long, and it's not just one way comedy for me. Mm-hmm. I look at every type of comedy. Mm-hmm. Is it cringy?
Yeah,
absolutely, it's cringy. But it's that, like we was talking about, that uncomfortable feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What can you make out of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like. I've seen some of the best work come out of Kill Tony. Mm-hmm. I've seen some of the worst come out of Kill Tony. Hey, bro, it's comedy. I heard a lot of black comedians say they're never going to Kill Tony.
Yeah.
Because they see the type of jokes they throw at them. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, can you give it back, though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like, what can you do with it?
Can you give it back? I done seen one of my favorite comedians out of there. His name is Cam Patterson out of Kill Tony. I see what he can do, right? And I'm just like, that's how you attack it.
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you go out, this is what you do. So it's a good and bad thing, man. I like Kill Tony, man. I like it. It is cringy, but it's also some of the funniest shit I've seen in a while.
It's
so,
like you
it's
said,
a pressure cooker.
Yeah, it's a pressure cooker, man. Yeah. Like if and it, I just think I take it. I say it like this, man. Like I think everybody roads to success, to being a successful comedian is different, right? Like some comedians, their path is only Kill Tony. Like I've heard how you get on Kill Tony. And I'm just like, hey, I ain't dedicated like that. Like waiting 5 years to get on. Nah, I'm not.
5 seconds or whatever.
Right. Something like, I'm not dedicated like that. Or, you know, there's other comments like, I'm never fucking with Kill Tony, which is cool.
Yeah.
Like it's
like you don't have to. Either.
You don't have to.
You can
man.
Still be successful.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. So,
but are you cutting yourself off like from an opportunity?
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Because your act should hold up.
Yeah.
If you're good.
Yeah.
Right?
No, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You got to be ready. Yeah. That's what I was getting to. You got to be ready when your name is called.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't just be like, go up there with some bullshit, just say you got to kill Tony. No, what's your purpose? Mm-hmm. You got to have a purpose. If you don't have a purpose, don't go. You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't have a purpose. But if you are going there, make sure you're ready when your name is called. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
That's awesome.
But you know anybody there is going to help you out, try to get you some spots.
Hey, man, you're talking too much. Hey, you're talking too much. We just 2026, we're in there.
We're doing 2026 secrets
that's,
right
that's
now.
That's what you brought up festivals earlier, and it's like that's a great way to meet comics from other cities and other all over the world
Absolutely,
or all over
the
country because that's like – one thing that we learned from Blue Whale and stuff like that, it's like,
I met y'all at Blue Whale.
We didn't go this year. We went the last year, and, like, that was, like, one of the most eye-opening experiences for me just because, like, I mean, I met so many Tulsa comics at that festival, and it was, like, that I still follow. I mean, I started following you at that time and still like seeing you post since then.
Yeah.
So it's like,
still,
it's like, I became a fan of so many Tulsa comics during that time.
So going to a lot of, and me and Cepeda talked about this. Cepeda's actually going to help me get into some of the comedy festivals. Like,
He does a ton.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been doing this longer than Cepeda, but I'm not afraid to reach out to people, you know, and just be like, hey, man, can you help me?
Get some advice and tips. Because, like, he put in the work. Like,
That's my dog, man.
He's figured everything out, I think, in certain areas as far as how to get shows and do all that.
Did y'all know we had a wrestling podcast? Me and Cepeda?
No.
I may have.
What was it called?
It was called The Wrestling Chop Shop.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we did like one episode and we put it up and that was it.
Yeah.
What'd you think about it? Was it good?
It was good. We just, you know, like I was telling you earlier, man, like
Time and dedication.
And I was trying to build the studio up on ground up. I didn't have, you know what I mean? Like, you know how expensive it is to.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's just like, that's why I said, like, I want to started back up Tibbs Mania podcast and then the wrestling podcast back up next year and we'll get it back together. Mm-hmm. We'll get the band together. Cool. Sound like that old rock group. We're going to get the band back together.
That's a really good idea, I think, because every comedian, I feel like, has thought about a podcast or has tried doing a podcast because it's like it's so similar. I mean, doing podcasts are like just, you know, riffing about and you can talk about anything and it's just so conducive, I think, for comedians to get into, but doing wrestling is such a good idea because so you could reach all kinds of audience. They don't have to care about comedy, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But then they could find you and be like, oh, he's a really funny comedian. I'm gonna follow him for the comedy as well as the wrestling stuff.
Yep. And that's one thing because I have a TikTok page. It's the Tibbs Mania TikTok page where I just talk about wrestling.
Yeah, so and it's just not even to do with your comedy.
I want to start another comedy page where I just post clips.
Right.
But with the TikTok page, man, I got a lot of followers on there. Just wrestling
because
on
wrestling fans. Yeah.
That's
good. I think that's a good idea for any comedian. If like you're thinking about a podcast, it's like, well, don't just do a comedy podcast. Think about what you're into, you know. Do an anime podcast. Do a video game podcast.
Right, yes,
instead. And then it's like, obviously, be funny on there.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And then, like, people are going to be like, oh, he's funny. I'm going to check out, you know, his comedy page.
That's crazy because, like, I have that one. I have the Tibbs Mania with wrestling, and then I have another one where it's Mr. Larry Tibbs, mm-hmm. but I'm doing work stuff.
Like,
I'm doing coworker arguing in the break room.
Like little skits or something, little sounds of skits.
And they've been pretty cool. People liking it. So
people like that stuff for sure.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, like, I guess last question, another similar to the challenge question, but it's like, what does success look like to you? Like, what is, or maybe what do you think? What are you trying to reach for as far as success?
Man, because I could say it many ways, yeah. and I just want the right answer.
Right.
Are we just talking like comedy wise, or just success? Anything?
I mean, however you want to take it, I guess.
I'd say for comedy,
yeah.
What success look like for me in comedy is I can quit my full time job and do this for full time, mm-hmm. do comedy full time.
Yeah,
that's like, successful. For
that's
me.
How you know you made it.
Yeah.
How close are you? About half and half, three quarters.
Man, let's see. I just said this this year. Comedy is part time now.
Yeah,
it's a part time job. That's good. Like I can. You know, mm-hmm. I got me a little part-time job doing stand-up comedy. Now, until I can say, oh, this is full-time. Yeah. So,
or hopefully it'll start balancing more and more to where it's like...
Yeah, I want to work hard next year.
You can work part-time at a regular job and then, you know...
Right. So, one thing I want to work on next year is try to get it full-time.
Yeah.
Get myself out there more. Mm-hmm. I want to be on social media a little bit more. I mean, I'm already on social media. You can see me, but I want people to know who I am.
Right.
And I also, like I said, I want to go on tour, man. I want them big shows, bro. Like,
start getting get your name at in different. Yeah.
I got a cool story and a reason why I feel that way, right? Uh-huh. Like I got a cool story. Like y'all into stand up comedy, right? Uh-huh. Y'all know who Earthquake is.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of it.
You never heard of Earthquake? Uh-huh. What? You know who Earthquake is?
Yeah,
right?
He's a real comedy fan. I'm just like here for like I real quick. Like I was talking to somebody about this earlier, but it's like we focus on like local people and like you know, my local comics, local musicians, local artists, and like Nick, he loves real comedy, you know, actual people outside of here. And like, you'll go to the comedy clubs to see big names and stuff like that. And you'll be like, you want to go to the show? I'm like, no, I don't care. Who is that?
Yeah.
Like, is Brandon Kilo on that? Cause that's who I want to see.
with Brandon.
Like, I only care about the people that, you know, but that's just me.
You don't even like coming to see me. He's got me by now.
That's the thing.
He knows my act.
I see him like four times a month already.
Yeah.
So what Earthquake say?
Yeah.
No, I didn't meet Earthquake. Yeah. So here I'm gonna give y'all the thing.
Yeah.
Here, this is what happened. So I went to Dallas, Texas for WrestleMania, right? And a buddy of mine's is in the comedy business, right? Mm-hmm. And that same weekend, it was a Friday night, and they had this comedy show. It was Earthquake, Bill Bellamy, Shante Wayans, Ryan Davis, and Linnell, all on one show.
Damn.
Right? And he got us backstage, because he's in the comedy business.
Nice.
So he got us backstage, and I'm just sitting there like a fly on the wall, right? And at the time, Bill Bellamy was talking to Linnell. Shante Wayans was talking to one of the security guards. Ryan Davis was just like this big fan of comedy. So he just talking to everybody about comedy. Right. And it's just in the hallway chilling. So these doors open up and down the hallway. In comes in Earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
Earthquake comes in all chill, smooth, cool. He got this swag about, he got aura. That's what I say. He got aura. Like he just walk in and people like everybody stopped mid conversation. To see Earthquake, what's up, bro? And he had just did Legendary, the special Legendary on Netflix that Dave Chappelle produced it.
Oh, nice.
So he had just come off of that. And we in this theater in Texas, I can't remember the name of it, but so I'm just sitting there just watching everybody's interaction, just like, nobody knows I'm there. Nobody knows I'm a stand-up comic. People thought I was security guard
because
how big I was. So the show goes on. Bill Bellamy is the host. He kills. He rips it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan David goes up, rips. Shante Wayne goes to rip. Linnell goes up, do her thing. But then when Bill Bellamy introduced Earthquake, it was some of the coolest shit I ever seen.
Mm.
Like, like they called his name. They was Bill Bailey was like, "Are y'all ready for your headliner? You just see this man. He dropped his legendary comedy special on Netflix. Y'all make some noise for Earthquake." Earthquake. Like he's quiet the whole time.
Yeah.
But he walks out. That spotlight hits him. The crowd. Ah, and he just transformed to this high energetic yeah. person. I said, "I want that.
Yeah.
I want that. Yeah. That shit right there." It. Yeah, like it, I was like, "Yo, awesome. What the?" And he just ripped like it was anything he said. He could have said pickle juice.
Yeah,
crowd would have just like, just ah! Yeah. It was that stage presence. It was that command. It was that. I said, "Yo, that's like I've like I said, Bernie Mac is my favorite all time mm-hmm. comedian, Cedric entertainer, Kevin Hart. But that dude right there, when Earthquake hit that stage, I was like." Yeah, I got it. I want that. That's what I want. I want that feel. So it gave me that fire. Like, yeah. That's why I say I want more. Then, you know what I mean? Like, I want more. I want that feel. So
that's awesome. Yeah,
I think you get it, man. It's cool. I think you get it, especially after this November 14th. November 14th.
Come
get
out.
Get your tickets. Local Laughs promo code.
Yes.
Larry Tibbs himself.
Yes.
All right. Where can everybody find you? Where can everybody
find you? Can find me on Instagram at Mr. Larry Tibbs. You can find me at Mr. Larry Tibbs and everything on
That's
social
pretty
media.
Much yet, huh?
TikTok, I'm really active on TikTok right now. So mm-hmm. y'all go on TikTok and type in Mr. Larry Tibbs and follow me on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey, man, thanks for coming out.
Yeah,
thanks
I appreciate
for doing
y'all,
this.
Man.
We appreciate it. Thanks for driving out.
Yeah, I cannot wait to come back, man.
Us
I appreciate
early
y'all.
On a Sunday.
Yeah. I appreciate y'all, man.
Yes, sir.
Thank y'all so much.
Be sure to subscribe, like, do the whole thing. Make sure that you love us. Send money. We're so hungry. We also, Liz, she wants me to make some money doing this shit. All right. So, and then thanks, Dave.
You can donate to the Black Negro Fund at Cash App, Big Funny Man LT.
Hell yeah.
We're going to put it right there at the bottom of the screen. At Big Funny Man LT. Just say, hey, I'm just here to support. It could be $1. It could be $5,000. It don't matter. Just support it.
Hell yeah. We appreciate it. All right. Well, thanks everyone for watching.
Appreciate it.
We'll see you next time. Great. That was awesome.